Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and today we have a special guest on the podcast. His name is Ryan Price, and some of you may know him as the host and kind of guru behind MBA Secrets, which is another podcast about business school, and we're going to talk about that, but obviously Ryan is also going to be earning an MBA in the coming year, so there's a lot to discuss, and I asked Ryan to come on because I think what he's doing with his podcast is fantastic. So we'll get into it, but welcome, Ryan.
Thank you so much, Graham. I really appreciate you having me.
So as always, or as we have for the last couple of weeks, we have a new sponsor, which is Carnegie Mellon University. Very psyched to have the Tepper School of Business on board. So we're going to hear from them, and then let's get into it. Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business has the number one online MBA program, according to U.S. News and World Report. Why? Because Tepper MBAs are taught to thrive where data analytics, technology, and business intersect. At Tepper, students learn the latest analytic and management skills to not only lead but succeed in an increasingly complex business world. You'll learn from Carnegie Mellon's internationally renowned faculty in a vigorous curriculum and enjoy globally networked career and alumni support. Earn your MBA in one of three formats built to fit your lifestyle. There's never been a better time to earn your MBA. For more information, go to cmu.edu/Tepper. That's T-E-P-P-E-R. So I don't want to do too much of a spoiler here for our listeners, but we will talk about your podcast. And I just will say that I just feel like the idea that you're going around talking to MBA students and recent grads is so great. And you probably know at clearadmit.com, we do a series called Real Humans. And this is a kind of a similar concept in that you're getting up close and personal with people pursuing the MBA. And so I think it's such a great resource. So I'm thrilled that you made time to chat with us. But I also wanted our listeners to hear about your journey since you're getting an MBA yourself. So maybe we'll start there. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? Where are you from? Where'd you do undergrad, and what's this path been like as you've been, working towards getting an MBA?
Yeah, absolutely. So my path is a bit unconventional. For the longest time, I didn't even think I would finish my undergraduate degree. So, I was born and raised in Utah, grew up an Aggie fan, Utah State fan, which is, kind of unpopular in the state. I think, I always wanted to go there, was always, grew up going to football games, basketball games. That's where I wanted to be. And so out of high school, I went there, made it for about a year, and I actually met my future wife mm-hmm. in high school.
Oh, cool.
And she and I both went up to Utah State, and I say up because it's up in the kind of in the mountains. And we both left there to go on two-year missions for our church. And then when we came home, my future wife at the time did something that a lot of those return missionaries do, and she decided that she was going to go to BYU. And for me, that was hard to swallow because I grew up kind of, hate's a strong word, but the rivalry is there with BYU against Utah State.
Okay, so those are the two big, so there's this rivalry between Utah State and Brigham Young, that's the deal in Utah, or?
Well, I think BYU fans would more say that their rivalry is with the University of Utah.
Right.
And Utah State, they refer to Utah State as kind of their little brother. So that always gets us riled up, right? When she went there, it was, ugh, what are you doing? But, I wanted to marry her, so I followed her. And I ended up transferring to BYU, something I never thought I would do.
Okay.
And it worked out. So that was worth it, as challenging as that was. And then I hit the trifecta, and I actually transferred again to the University of Utah. So I hit the big three in the state of Utah because I didn't really care about my undergrad degree. I got to this point where I didn't like it. I didn't feel like I needed it. Hmm. My career was, I had worked full time through school and really made a big leap. And so the reason I transferred to the University of Utah was because it's based in Salt Lake, which is where my company was. So I moved there to be closer. And eventually I just decided, my career is moving at such a good rapid pace here. I'm getting where I want to go. I'm done. I'm done with school, dropped out. Actually ended up moving to the UK for my job, just, really, really big pivot there. And then it kind of came full circle. And obviously I'm back trying to pursue an MBA. So kind of a long story shortened there.
Okay, so you're going to start business school this fall at BYU. Is it the Marriott School? Is that the
exactly.
business school, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay, so you've made it full, you know, finished undergrad in the end, on your way to an MBA. But I got to hear about your time in the UK, because I remember I saw a post that you put up somewhere on social media about how you lived in Slough,
yes,
in the United Kingdom, which is the host city or town of The Office, the original version of The Office, not the American one, the BBC one. And so what was that like?
Yeah, well, you know, most people are fans of The Office for, you know, if you live in the US, you've seen it. And so Slough, I mean, can be compared to Scranton.
Yeah.
You don't have to have been to Scranton to know that, you know, that's the kind of city it is. So it's, I moved there at the beginning of 2019.
Okay.
For this job. And my wife was actually finishing her master's degree at BYU. So my company kind of split us up and we were apart for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was living in a Holiday Inn Express in Slough, you know, right above the train station, the Slough train station. And, you know, I didn't even have a closet. Like I lived out of my suitcase for, that was about 3 months. And I, you know, had to take Ubers everywhere. And it was just like, it was the craziest experience. And one that in the moment was awful, and like I was really lonely and kind of depressed, but I look back at it weirdly with fondness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kinds of hard challenges are really, I don't know, they shape you and give you so many good things too. And so I'm grateful for that time. But it was, you know, I was the first employee that my company had ever sent abroad, relocated anywhere. And so they had no idea what they were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. It's, you know, I've never even been to Europe at this point. And so I had to figure out housing and my visa and a car, and I had to learn how to drive on the other side of the road. And it was just, it was crazy, but awesome. And then when my wife finally came in September, I moved in February, she came in September. Wow, night and day. We just loved being over there, exploring Europe. And, you know, you're a stone's throw from anywhere over there. And so it was just awesome. It was really hard. When it came time to come home, when we made that decision, it was hard leaving. So we loved it over there.
Cool. Yeah. And I think that probably, I always feel like, I mean, having lived abroad myself now for quite a while, yeah, it's kind of eye opening, gives you a different perspective, and, sounds like it was really a pretty rich experience for you, even though sounds like the beginning was rough. But tell me this. So you decided you want to do an MBA. How did you decide like where to apply? Because I mean, you were working in Europe. Maybe some of the European schools were on your radar, or did you know you were going back to the States? And if so, how'd you settle on, you know, where you're going to go ultimately, which is BYU? But you must have looked at other programs too.
So it's actually kind of interesting. Towards the end of 2019, I got to this point where I just was not very happy with my job, my role, you know, which is weird. Anybody looking at it, most people that I've talked to are like, what are you thinking? You know, you're living in England and this is like the best opportunity ever. And they're right. You know, it was amazing, but certain things just kind of, I don't know. I just had a hard time with it. And so I got to this point where I needed to leave. I needed to be done. And there was no, you know, there was nothing that would keep us in England if it wasn't for this job. So we knew we'd have to be coming back to the States. And my wife is a big planner, and I, you know, I get that. But I was like, hey, let's just go. And she's like, no way, not a chance. We can't just leave without a plan. And so I was like, okay, good. I don't know what to do. What should I do? School honestly wasn't even on my radar when I was trying to make this decision. And I went to lunch one day on the Slough High Street. I'll never forget it. There's a McDonald's I frequented. You know, I'd always get my McDouble and hot and spicy and all of that. And sitting in this booth on the upper floor of this McDonald's in Slough, just trying to rack my brain, thinking about what I could possibly do to maybe replace my income, which would have been challenging, and make it so my wife would feel comfortable going back, because she loved it there. And I just felt awful, but I knew I couldn't stay. And then out of nowhere, just it hit me like a ton of bricks, as if somebody spoke to my face. You know, the thought came, you need to get an MBA from BYU. And it was that specific. And to me, it was a spiritual experience, and you know, you can call it whatever you want, but I went from hating school and never even giving it a thought to go back and finish, let alone get more school, to now being excited and like, wow, I can't wait to get back and pursue this MBA. It was crazy. Just this weird 180. And so I actually didn't even consider applying anywhere else. That thought came, I felt like I had that inspiration that for me, that was the only option. And so I, left the UK with the plan to apply to BYU. I needed to finish my undergraduate degree, of course. And that took me 24 credits in one semester and 6 attempts at the GMAT and just a crazy ride. But finally made it into BYU.
So I think this is an interesting story. And I know we talked about this, off air a little bit, but I think, mm-hmm. you know, this idea that, you know, not everyone goes through undergraduate in a sort of straight line and then does their work for a few years and then lines everything up to apply to business school. You know, the fact that you had the idea to do an MBA, but then still had to finish undergrad is, you know, that just, it's not something you see that often. But here you are, you know, accepted to a program and excited about attending. And so do you have any, I mean, and it sounds like you also, you know, had to navigate the GMAT and everything else. So I guess I wanted to know, like, do you have any words of wisdom to our listeners when it comes to navigating these kinds of things? Because I know a lot of our listeners look around and are like, oh, you know, everyone's got a 700 plus on the GMAT and a 3.5 or better GPA and a kind of perfect story. When the reality is, you know, we were doing a kind of MBA admissions event about 10 days ago, and one of the admissions directors said, look, we know no one is perfect. Every application's got faults. Like, that's a given, you know, and so stop trying to be perfect. But yeah, any words of advice when you've navigated this process? So,
yeah, and that's a great question. And I think if I hadn't had that kind of that experience at McDonald's, which is weird, I don't know why it happened there, but if I hadn't had that just really strong experience and I looked at what it would take to get in and I looked at all these other people in the competition, I probably would have self-selected myself out as well. Mm-hmm. But there, you know, that driving force behind it just made me say, like, I don't even care. Who cares what the competition is doing? I'm going to do what I can do. And that's really all you can expect, is just do what you can do. Your competition's always going to be there. But what I did, and that I would recommend to everybody, and this might seem obvious, but some people don't think about it, is to talk to those who are doing and have done what you want to do, right? And that's, I reached out to several students that, you know, had gone to BYU, had just been accepted and were in the program, and I asked them exactly what they did for their application and the feedback they got on their applications and how they would have tweaked it. And they gave me insights that literally changed the way that I approached my entire application. And I credit them in many cases with my getting accepted. And so talking to people who know what it's like. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, do as well as you can on the GMAT. I sure didn't get my 700 score. I tried. That was my goal. And I felt like I could and should, but it just didn't happen for me, even with 6 tries. But what I learned is that is important, but it certainly is not everything. Even your GPA, you know, my GPA is perfectly average. It was right there on the average. And my work history was pretty good, you know, being in England, but even with all those things, it's you, what's unique to you is really your best selling point. And it doesn't matter what your story is. It's good enough no matter what it is. And I think that's something that any applicant should understand about themselves, is they have a good story. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a good story.
Yeah. And I think on some levels, like your story, the story of, you know, dropping out of undergrad, pursuing a career and turning it into an international career, even though, you know, living out of a suitcase or whatever was challenging, it was an international career that then spun background and, you know, had you head into the US for an MBA. But that's like an interesting story. And one that they probably remembered, you know, the admissions reader. So, and I guess, you know, I will say, I'd love to know a little bit more about, you know, we're talking about applying to business school and you're headed off to get an MBA. And I wondered, like, did you know what you want to do post-MBA? Because that's often a piece of the application process, is like being able to answer that question or at least come up with a hypothetical path. And I know you mentioned earlier, like, God, you know, not as much of a planner as my wife is. So like, what, you know, what are you hoping to do with the MBA? And is that what you said in your application, et cetera?
Yeah, I did. I do know what I want to do. Not like very specific, but generally I know that I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be the Graham Richmonds of the world, right? I want to start my own companies and create a business and a company where employees can come and enjoy where they work. That's always been my long-term goal. And I think that stemmed from not enjoying where I worked. Right. And so I, you know, one of the reasons that I decided that an MBA would be great for me is because I actually tried my hand at several different businesses. And one of them, I tried a little e-commerce outdoor gear business called Barefist Outdoor. I think our website is still up if you want to check it out. Don't buy anything. It's not that good, but barefistoutdoor.com. So you can just see what I'm talking about. But, you know, we imported backpacking chairs and insulated cooler backpacks from China, and my brother and I did. And, you know, then we got them in and found out that tariffs were way more expensive than we thought they would be. So our margins just died. And I had no idea how to market it. And we just were spending money left and right with no sales. Like, it was just an epic fail. But, you know, one that, of course, that's always progress. You love to learn. But I realized in doing that I needed help big time in how to run a business and how to market and just source everything that goes along with business. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to do an MBA, because I think that's exactly what I'll learn. And so with that in mind, I'm kind of going on the entrepreneurship track at BYU.
Got it. Yeah. And I think, hopefully you'll aspire to do, you know, there are some other entrepreneurs I can think of besides myself, who have achieved far greater things. So I would go aim high. But that's a challenge in terms of when you apply to business school, and you have to talk about entrepreneurship. A lot of times, you know, admissions readers can be skeptical, especially if you haven't done it. Now, in your case, it sounds like you'd actually tried some things, and maybe, you know, it sounds like they didn't work very well, but you probably had some great lessons learned. And I'm just wondering, like, did you talk about that at all? Like, did you say that, you know, you love entrepreneurship and you've started businesses A, B, and C, they didn't work, and you realize, you know, I need an MBA? Or how did you spin that? Or did you not talk about those ventures?
I did talk about my failures. And I think that that's something that admissions officers really want to see. You know, I don't think they love to get that, the perfect, you know, I know everything, you know, I was in venture capital and or investment banking, and I have all these great accolades. I think it's really appealing to them to see struggles and authenticity and that vulnerability. And I shared the fact that I really struggled in my efforts, but I'm dedicated to it. I really want to make it happen. And I think that manifests itself in the fact that I'm applying to business school. And that's kind of how I spun it and tried to make it, you know, appealing to them.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that I always looked for when I was reading files at Wharton is if someone says they have entrepreneurial goals, you want to look for at least evidence that they, you know, that they're willing to take that kind of a leap, that they're, you know, someone who has that kind of risk profile. In your case, even just the little that I know from, you know, from today's discussion and some of the discussions we've had in the past, like, I feel like, you know, this leap to jump over to the UK is, you know, shows an appetite for exploring new things. And then obviously you've set up a couple of companies. Let's talk about what you're doing now, because I think it's relevant to this. And so in order to get there, I know, you actually were admitted to BYU for the MBA and then did a deferral and have decided to spend that year doing MBA secrets? Or how did that come about? Like, I'd like to know more about the deferral.
Right. Yeah. So the deferral was not my choice. So as part of the process to my application, I mentioned I took the GMAT six times. That started January 4th of 2020, and it ended July, I think, 11th of 2020. So I had this entire, 7-month or so process of trying to get this GMAT done. And thankfully, the first time I took the GMAT, I got 610, not great, but it was over 600. And when coronavirus hit, I think a lot of schools did this. BYU sent out an email saying, hey, if you've got a score that's over 600, you're automatically guaranteed an interview. Because we know you can't get into testing centers right now to get your scores up. So that was huge for me. So I got that interview and, really connected with my interviewer. He's a fantastic guy. Been in touch with him since then, but he was a real advocate for me. In that interview, we talked about how the elephant in the room was my GMAT score and it wasn't good enough, point blank. Mm-hmm. But we had a good conversation, and he knew that, that I had things to offer to the program. And so he, in his words, he said, "I'll go to bat for you." And he took our conversation back to the admissions committee and, told them, you know, like this, he can succeed here. He'd be good for our program. And so a few days after that interview, I got a call from the, director of the program, mm-hmm. just directly to me, which was really, really nice, to see. And he's like, "Listen, we want you here. But we can't have you here with that GMAT score. And we need it to get up to this level." Right. And I just, you know, was so grateful that he even took the time to, give me that opportunity. And right. So from there, he's like, "Even if it takes you till August, we'll keep a spot for you." Mm-hmm. And so I did, it almost did take me to August, and I took the, you know, like I said, six times on my last try, I got the score I needed. Mm-hmm. And so this, I mean, I should write a book someday. It's just crazy. But I, you know, I took that score to him and he said, "Great, you're in." However, unfortunately, because of coronavirus, just we've got some extenuating circumstances. Things have been a little challenging. So we have to defer you for a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And at first I was really bummed and frustrated, but not at BYU. I understood the position they were in. That it was a challenge for them. And, you know, I wanted to get going. That was why I was kind of struggling with that. But then it took maybe a couple days before I realized, like, hey, you know, I can do a lot in a year. And I kind of reflected on my application process, and I mentioned that I had talked to a lot of students who helped me in mm-hmm. that process. And there it was: Matthew, Neil, and Michael. These current students at BYU gave me these tools that helped me get in. And I, like I said, I'll forever credit them with that. And I thought about that and I said, you know, maybe I could create something that kind of, I guess, recreates that same experience, but for the masses. And so I thought, maybe I'll make this podcast, call it MBA Secrets, and, share the student's perspective, you know, day in the life, good, bad, and ugly, of what an MBA is like. And I, you know, when school starts for me, I'll document it. I'll share what it's like, exactly what it's like. And over this entire year, I've been interviewing students from other schools to get their perspectives. And it's just all kind of that student-led experience. And something that I hope provides some value to people who are looking to apply or are in their program or just anywhere along that whole process.
Yeah. And I feel like, before we talk about MBA Secrets, because I think it's a really cool concept, and I think the conversations you're having with current students are of great value for our listeners and anyone, you know, thinking about business school. But I want to go back to the fact that the director of the program at BYU called you, because, you know, this is a really odd story, but, you know, when I applied to business school, I was not accepted. You know, I got a couple of wait lists, but was basically rejected across the board. There were a lot of problems in my file. And one of the things that was, really surprising to me was the director of admissions at Wharton called me, after they'd sent me a rejection letter. I had a message on my answering machine, which tells you how old I am, because there were answering machines.
Yeah.
And the guy left a message saying, "Can you give me a call?" And I remember thinking, they made a mistake. Like, I'm in, you know, they sent me the wrong, you know, wrong envelope. But, but no, it was to call me. He wanted me to come to his office and have a conversation. And he did sort of something similar. He's like, "Look, you know, GMAT score too low. There are other things too that are just not ironed out enough. And we'd love to have you here. No, you can do it, but you got to take some steps." And so I ended up with kind of an extra year on my hands too. So I totally relate to that. And I think what's interesting is that how often is it that you get an extra year to do something? Now, granted, you had to work on on the test for a while, and then you've probably been doing other things. But the idea that you've had this extra time to create a podcast and talk to so many current MBA students is fantastic. And so I guess, what are you trying to accomplish with the show? I mean, I feel like you hinted at this, but, you know, what is it that you're hoping to do? I mean, you have until, I guess you're going to keep doing episodes as long as you can, right? I mean, it's sort of this may just go on even when you're in business school, right?
Yeah, that's the hope. I know that might be ambitious because it gets really busy, that's definitely my hope and goal, is to just really document it. And because I still, to be honest with you, I still don't really know what to expect fully. You know, and I think people care to know what to expect. And that's kind of what I want to offer, You know, what is it like on a day-to-day basis? We know there's case competitions. We know that you have interviews, recruiters come, and all those things are widely talked about. But what about, you know, the day-to-day assignments and the conversations and all of that? And that's kind of the value that I want to bring, along with kind of the application side of things. You know, there's expert advice out there, and it's, you have to use it. It's, they're experts. That's why it's out there. They provide such great advice. Like ClearAdmit has all sorts of resources for the application process. But I think it's important to supplement that as well with talking to people who are doing it, right? The students that are in the process, in the program. And that's kind of the, I guess, oh, I don't know, the goal of the whole podcast is to just provide another resource from the student's perspective, to applicants, people who are in their programs and beyond. Like I said, when we start getting jobs and accepting offers towards the end of the program, I want to document all of that. What's that like, when you start your job? Is it everything you thought it would be? Just, you know, everything from application to graduation. That's what I always say.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, I feel like as much as, you know, Alex and I on our podcast do a weekly podcast about MBA admissions. And as you said, there's a lot of stuff on the web that can teach you admission strategy, but then there's no substitute for talking to current students. And it's not just so you better understand what you might experience. I think it's also hugely valuable when it comes time to write your applications. Yeah. Because you're going to pick up, whether you intend to or not, you're going to end up with lots of like cool tidbits about life in the program. And if you can reflect those little pieces of information back in an interview or in your essays, the school is going to know that you've done your homework and that you really are seriously, you know, excited to come to their program and have done right, all that, you know, hard work of figuring it all out. So yeah, tremendously valuable. I wondered if you could tell me about a couple of episodes that you'd recommend our listeners to check out. I mean, someone who's just kind of getting started and he doesn't know where to start with MBA Secrets. Like, is there a couple of episodes that you think might be interesting that they could tune into?
Yeah, absolutely. I think episode one kind of gives you the rundown of my thoughts. It's not, I mean, I will warn you, those early episodes are, they might be a little hard to listen to because I was just on my phone and all of that, but it does give you kind of the breakdown of what to expect. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I've interviewed all kinds of students from, you know, you name it, Asade, Oxford, Harvard, Texas, just all over the board. So if there's a specific school that you're interested in, take a look and see if I've interviewed them. And something that I love to do is to provide what you're looking for. So if you're listening to this and you have a school that you want to learn more about, I mean, first of all, talk to the people that are there, of course, but also I'd be happy to get somebody from that school on the phone and have an interview as an episode. So if you have anything like that, of course, it's ryan@mbasecretspodcast.com. Just let me know. But for example, I interviewed somebody named Ryan Wadge at UCLA. That's episode 12. Mm-hmm. And he gave some really great admissions advice in terms of like essay writing and critiquing. He talked about how he would write his essays and then have his friends just rip it apart and critique it to death. Like he goes into great detail in that. So if you're in that stage or even recruiting interviews, he talks about that as well. For sure, listen to him. I also, kind of a unique one, I had my wife on as a guest to kind of talk about her perspective on this whole thing. And I, you know, it's like I mentioned, it's been challenging on her, and it's kind of a scary thought to be, you know, in a program for 2 years where I'm not, you know, working a full-time traditional job. It's hard. And we have a little one-year-old, so it's just kind of a lot. It's a heavy weight for her to bear. So I had her on to be candid and to talk about it. And so for anybody listening who's got that family life, that's kind of a great episode. And yeah, just things like that. When school starts come September 1st, that's when we really dig into the nitty gritty and the, like I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think, you know, it's funny, the fact that you spoke with your wife is interesting just in that there are so many people applying to business school who have a spouse or a partner, or, you know, significant other that's going to be going with them.
Yeah.
And we see it on Clear Admit all the time. People posting stories of like, where should I go to school? My spouse has a job here. I'm in there. Where, you know, I got more money here, you know. So, you know, in terms of like scholarships and everything. And I think it is a burden to bear for the other person in the couple, especially, you know, if you start to think about if you have kids and there's like the whole loss of income. So it's a complex problem. And I feel like the number of people who are spouses or partners or whatever, who are checking LiveWire to see if they're sick, you know, if the school that their significant other is applied to is announcing results at, you know, on queeradmit.com or something, is always interesting to me because they're invested in this too. Not to mention sometimes even parents are kind of invested in, right, in this and are peaking too. So that's great that you interviewed her. And I think that's a really important factor. And I also think you probably can speak to this, but I presume that BYU has like a club for spouses or, you know, partners and family, and most business schools do. And that can be useful if you, you know, to help your, just to give your partner like some, another way to connect into the community that's not just via you, you know, this sort of extra way to kind of get integrated. Cause it is, I think it's a better experience if your whole family is kind of a part of it. And, you know, that's not easy to do, right? Because it's a challenging a couple of years. So that's great. I'm sure our listeners will tune in. And I think that's also good advice that you gave, which is if you're applying to a school, look through the list of episodes, see if you've interviewed someone from there yet. If not, they can email you and you can try to get somebody on the horn to do an episode with. It sounds like you've done, I mean, when I last looked, there were a whole bunch of schools, and I'm sure that you've got others planned. So that'll be cool to see as they continue to trickle out. Are there any kind of final thoughts that you wanted to share with our listeners? Again, I do appreciate you making time to chat today and share kind of your journey as well as, you know, the details of the podcast, which is so much fun.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's certainly an honor to be on with you, Graham. Clear Admit's amazing. So I guess for final thoughts, I just would say just keep showing up. I think that's my biggest, that's what I try to live by. You know, I consider myself to be the epitome of average. You know, I just don't, you know, I feel like I'm just average Joe. My wife and I actually joke about that all the time. We're just average. But I think there's a lot of power in consistent effort and continuing to show up. Even when you get knocked down and you have to take the GMAT six times, that sixth time might do it for you. And, even if you get rejected for, a whole year, like your story was, you know, you came back and got into Wharton, and that's amazing. And so I think the power of just continuing to show up is really kind of how I would leave it.
Excellent. Yeah. And I'd say, yeah, persistence, grit, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It sounds like you've got that in spades. And yeah, I really do appreciate you making time to join us. And yeah, definitely listeners, take a listen to Ryan's podcast, MBA Secrets, and stay tuned. We'll have more episodes of the Clear Admit Admissions podcast coming up, not only Wiretaps episodes, but we have a lot of really amazing guests like Ryan on top for this coming admissions cycle. So stay tuned and thanks for listening.